Well, what's on your mind this wonderful January, Monday, January 4th? Wow.
Yeah, time's flying. Well, what's on my mind? Looking forward to this week. So this week has got me quaking in my boots, Rob. This is where we're giving her. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are my call days.
Yep.
And I've got 17 scheduled calls this week. That's the most I've ever had in my career. This is by far and away going to be the most productive client conversation week in my 14 years. So looking forward to it.
Congratulations. That's very busy.
It's exciting. It's
so five a day, exciting. Right?
Yeah, five. And we do have six on one day. But, so Kristen's been doing an amazing job rolling this out. I can't compliment her enough. She's absolutely been taking.
You heard that, Chrissy? Do you hear that?
I did. Well, thank you, Eric.
Well, you know, here I am saying I've got 17 calls, but Kristen called all 17 of those people and confirmed those meetings, right? Kristen got all of those folders out. Kristen got all of those, agendas together. So, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm excited, but she's already had this workload. Now right. It's coming on to me, right? So, you know, we've been front end loading the month as well. So the first week of the month is the fullest. Second week of the month is filling. Third week of the month is filling, you know, that kind of stuff. So this is going to be the big hit for the time being. And so that's what's on my mind. The other thing that's on my mind, Rob, is, so looking at the assignment week 7, director of marketing, be prepared to report on progress on 5-step process for developing COIs and set up the enthusiastically endorsed list for each FA. I am failing on that. That's what's on my mind. So, what steps have we taken? So Kristen and I just talked about that this morning. So, Kristen is the director of marketing. But at the end of the day, I'm where the rubber hits the road, right? And I haven't been hitting the road on that. So there's big areas for improvements. Kristen and I, we on our as team members on our 12-4-2, you know, as team members. So that comes up on Monday. So Kristen and I are going to talk about her role as director of marketing and unpack that a little bit more and define it and get that going. And then within it, I need to better understand the 5-step process, and better understand how I can get this rolling on the COIs, enthusiastically endorsed list and so on and so forth. Cause I feel like I'm behind on that. I don't know if that's necessarily the truth, but I do feel like I'm behind on getting that done. We've been focusing so much on getting things rolling with existing clients and things like that. So I think that's what's on my mind right now. Kristen, is there anything on your mind that you want to share with Rob before we kick off? Or Rob, do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, let me hear from Chrissy and then we'll... Yeah.
You know what? I guess for me, it's just, trying to get those folders out right now. We had a little bit of a printing issue last week where all of our printers were down nationwide, for the 2 days. So I couldn't get that out. So other than that, I mean, it was running smoothly before. So, I'm just going to now have to try to do the catch up on getting the folders out, but I am looking forward to when all the folders are done and all of the scheduling is done. And then I'm looking forward to getting into the next step of the routine that will be a little bit more, you know, expected of what I need to do and, you know, just get into that routine. So.
Okay. So as far as the workload, does it look like it will be, approximately that number each week for 4 weeks, 17 a week?
We're settling in I think we're about 80 clients. Shit, I don't have it. Let me just check the other piece here. But it's gonna settle in around that, I believe. Once all the weeks are filled up.
Well, right now the number of clients we actually have scheduled for the 12-4-2 is 35, and the number of butlers that have been scheduled is 7.
Okay.
Right. And
the ultimate number, though, is what he's talking about, I think.
Yeah, like when it packs in. But we don't have that many more supernovas to book, I don't think. This is a bit older numbers that I've got in front of me. And the reason why I don't have the fresh numbers is I'd have to log into my office computer to bring them up. But I'm showing that we had 20. No, that can't be right. But I think we were running at about 60 calls. Is that right, Kristen? I think that's where we were settling in.
I think, yeah, for some reason, the number 61 is what sticks in my head.
I know if you can see me on the video, I apologize if I look a little bit wonky. I'm just trying to get those numbers right now. I just want to make sure you cannot see my screen. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, excellent. So, Rob, what it looks like is we're going to have 40 Supernova clients and 25 Butler clients on the keep list. And then we still have a further, let me do the count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 butlers. So we're going to end up with 40 supernovas and 37 butlers. So then when we look at that, so 37 butlers is divide that by 3. So we're looking at, let's call it easy math, 12. So we're going to come in at a total of 52 supernovas.
And that's very reasonable. Manageable.
Yeah, it's manageable. And, you know, I made the decision to stack everything Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the time being. So yeah, I think we're manageable, and we're still, you know, we still have to do some segmentation. Because we can implement with our current client count, we can, as we bring in new ideal prospects, we can segment out the back end, right? So we didn't have to do that big segmentation. We're still going to do, we're still targeting segmenting out 12 clients. So that's going to reduce the client count. That's not included in this,
right?
This number, that 52 number. There's a further 12 clients that, or I guess we're down to 10 clients that need to be segmented out. So.
All right. So in terms of the centers of influence and the mastermind group and so forth, think of that as another set of clients that you're going to do 12-4-2 with. Okay. So mentally, don't segregate them into some other world. Make that as important as the 51 clients, 52 clients. All right. So you pick, and let's just use the number 6 centers of influence. You're going to add those, and you can do those on Monday and Friday, or you can do those whenever you can fit them in. Okay. But you want to give yourself, that's room. You need space for those 12-4-2s. Okay. Right. So I would work on, if as you're marketing, Kristen, which do you like to be called?
Chrissy? At work, I go by Kristen. Yeah. Family okay. and just, stuff just call me Chrissy. Yes.
Well, and it says you got Chrissy on
your. You got Chrissy on
yeah,
your.
Yeah, that's.
That's familiar.
It's fine.
Okay. That's the two in French, right? Yeah. Okay. Instead of vous, two. So I would keep some room for, niches too. I want you to have two niches. Now you've already identified the niches right. And we want to pick two people inside that niche and develop those as centers of influence. They may be centers of influence already and maybe one of the quote six, but the six kind of, we think of professional centers of influence. Mm-hmm. And then you have your natural centers of influence and your niche centers of influence. Mm-hmm. So there's different types of centers of influence. There's people that you have now. They just either you develop them or whatever.
Right.
And they give you referrals because they like you and they trust you. And the more you're in touch with them, I mean, this is statistically proven. It's like marketing. It's like advertising. The more you advertise, even to the same people, the probabilities are that you're going to get more returns. That's why you don't give up on advertising. You just keep advertising and then gradually you get your 2% or your 3% return. Right. And that's the same with this, is that don't give up. You just keep doing it knowing that it will pay off. And it's a system, you've seen it with your business, right? Just calling your clients on a regular basis generates more business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny. I read these statistics, you know, bigger producers call their clients more and do more business. I'm like, wow, why do you think they're bigger producers? anyway, so. You have to build those into your rituals and place them right into your schedule. And that way you won't ignore them. Now that will put pressure on you psychologically, but you need that. That's the challenge. Calling your clients is easy. No sweat, no stress, right? In a bull market, no stress. Calling your niches and developing those niches, stressful. You don't know how it's going to go. You know, what's going to happen. You got to get the words right, but you'll do the preparation if you schedule the calls. That's
yeah. If it's in there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So when would you opt to do that? Monday or Friday or both or? What are you thinking for scheduling purposes?
I think it would probably be both Mondays and Fridays, to try and leave enough space, you know, on the okay. rest of the day, right?
Yeah.
It'd be in the mornings on Mondays and Fridays.
Okay. So
likely.
You hear that, right? You got it. Mm-hmm. Mornings, Monday and Friday. We want to fill those up with, let's say, six, seven, eight calls, four and four. Okay.
Okay.
That's the goal. Four and four. We want six centers of influence and two centers of influence inside two niches. So six professional centers of influence and then two people inside each of, you know, two centers of influence inside each of your niches. You've got good niches. You got solid niches. You're going to do business if you develop those relationships.
Right.
Okay. And with COVID, you got an excuse not to go see them, which is great. you can set all this up.
Yeah.
And get it set up before this is over, because right. otherwise it's going to be, oh, come and see me. We'll have breakfast and lunch and da, da, da. And that's great, except it takes time. And this way you can be really professional. They'll get used to it. They'll look forward to it. And you'll have established the rituals without any of the time cost. Okay.
Now, I just want to make sure I fully understand that piece there. So 4 and 4 on Monday and Friday, that's just 1 week, right? Because that would be...
yeah, that would be just 1 week.
Yeah, that's just 1 week.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Because that gets... Yeah, that covers 8, 6 UIs, 2 niche, and then, yeah, that's just 1 week.
And we'll start with that. We, you know, you'll add in a few other things, but...
Yeah.
Let's get those established as important as your clients.
Eric, and we already have 1 COI scheduled on the Mondays of the month. Right. So honestly, now all we need is 5.
Right. And that actually came up today. Like I have to call, Trevor today, to have that, to just touch base. Right. But we haven't formalized, I haven't formalized that he's going to be 12-4-2 in a sense. Right. So I need to do that with him as well.
You got to sell him on the idea of building a relationship.
Yeah. Well, this individual, absolutely. It'll be beneficial for both him and I based on some of this shit that hit the fan last week. We had, a client of ours. I got an email from him at, it was at 6:30. In the evening on the 29th saying, Eric, I need to pay a $1.6 million tax bill before the 31st. Can you help us do that? And so what, and this client's accountant, we need to work on getting more proactive about that shit so we don't have these last minute fires.
Correct.
Which speaks into the week 8. Piece about spending time on what's important versus urgent and stuff like that. So, okay, yeah.
So, remember the enthusiastically endorsed list is your answer to what are we going to do? Okay, that's the first thing you do, building these relationships. You talk about the enthusiastically endorsed list. And how you develop it, where it comes from, the question you ask, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your cardiologist, your hairdresser? I don't care. But you're getting an enthusiastically endorsed list together. And he asks, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say no, that's your chance. Just remember, enthusiastically endorsed list plus center of influence equals introductions.
Right.
You can't do it without it. They won't remember. You're going to need to train them and you're going to need to remind them just like I am. You're going to teach it to them and then you're going to remind them because they're not going to do it. Unless you remind them and give them lots of introductions. So you're going to be doing it and giving them introductions and they're going to feel guilty and then they're going to do it. And then they're going to say, oh, I've got one for you.
Right.
Because you've given them 4. Don't worry about giving them 4 because 4 of yours is not as good as 1 of theirs.
Right.
Okay. They can pay you back 1 for 10 almost. I mean, if they give you the right introduction, right? So people always say, well, I've given him 5 introductions. And I said, and each one of them pays 10 grand. And, you know, that's 50 grand. He gives you 1 and it pays you 200,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, it's worth it. And yours, you know, yours is, you know, they're both recurring and that's why the business is good. That's why they're, we call them professional centers of influence because they're getting recurring revenues too, just like you are, which is what we want. So, Chrissy, that's what you want to be doing at that Monday meeting.
Okay.
All right. You want to be, you can do some other things personally. You can work on the website. You can work mm-hmm. on LinkedIn. You can post things on LinkedIn. Approved.
Yep.
But you can do that. So you can be actively, you know, bringing up your, the team's profile, Eric's profile, your profile. You guys can be constantly upgrading those with activity you get. The algorithms work. If you post and you're active and you share, you'll get more, attention. The other thing is to look and Google Eric and make sure, like I just Googled somebody last night, right? He's a new client and it was almost two pages of him before I got to anybody else with his name.
Right.
That's impressive. Okay. Now, I got to go further into it to figure out why, but well, however he did it, you know, half the time when I Google people, I can't even find them. And they're professionals in our business.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think that is one of our issues too. I think in the past I've tried to Google Bauer and Associates and I may have had to go to like the second page or something to actually find it.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can get eventually, if you can get published in any form, local newspaper, anything, that will go on there and it will last forever. So when you think, well, I don't want to advertise with the local magazine because they're going to charge me and to get them to write an article about us, you know, they're going to make me advertise with them and all that. It's worth it to get that one article. Because then it lasts forever, and it's a good article about you and your team and what you're doing. And okay, I had a gal in Miami do that, and that's the article still there. Big picture of her standing up, you know, very pretty, you know, very attractive lady. And that's what people get when they Google her. So she dominates the Google search because of one article, probably 10 years ago. Okay, so that's, you know, marketing in our world. So those are things you can do, Chrissy. Instead, you know, well, Eric is going and testing his constitution and calling these people. Sweating.
Yeah, sleepless nights.
Right. Don't worry.
All that stuff, yeah.
Just get your script, write it out, yeah. practice it, and then the words will flow.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what you're always be moving forward. All right. So you're always closing for something. You're never just calling. Even when you call your clients, always have a destination. So you're doing your 12-4-2s with your clients. Always be closing for something. And, okay. So, you know, whatever it is, just have a purpose in every call. That's what your agenda's for. And that's the same thing with these centers of influence. Always be closing for something. You should be, you know, a joint marketing opportunity that we can do a webinar together. Something that will be good for both of you. And that's where you can call on the firm to do something. You know, we're going to be doing an outlook for January typically is outlook for the year, right? And so everybody thinks these guys are all busy, busy, busy. Well, they are, but if you give them enough time and say, I'd like you to do a webinar for my clients and my CPA's clients, then you get your chief economist on there and he gives you the outlook. And they always can say things they're not going to say on TV.
Yeah.
And that's very impressive to your clients. And even if they don't listen or don't bother getting on, the fact that you offer it is pretty cool. and just and make sure they know it's exclusive for you. But if the firm's doing it and you can piggyback on that, piggyback on that. And sometimes the bond guys are never, nobody asks them, right?
I find that very funny.
They have nothing to do right now, but they're smart and they know the economy.
Right.
And they know companies and they know junk bonds and they know maybe a few opportunities that'd be interesting in distressed areas and stuff like that. It may not be your cup of tea, but it's still, you can get somebody that's really smart to give an outlook and nobody is asking them to do anything because nobody cares about bonds anymore.
Well, and I think, what we're really circling around too is that we don't have a marketing calendar. We don't have a 24-month marketing calendar in place, right? That's really what we're circling around here is that we need to refine that to 12-4-2 our marketing, right? So have something go out monthly, i.e. a LinkedIn post, and then quarterly have something, and then semi-annually have an exclusive webinar or something like that, and run a 12-4-2 market 24-month marketing calendar. I think is probably something we need to refine. Because that's what I'm learning here, Rob, is having some sort of a framework to apply all this to is important. Instead of just saying we're gonna do LinkedIn, great. We're gonna do we'll update our LinkedIn. Great, but then what, right? It's kind of like the financial plan. It's the then what? So yeah, there's a gap that we need to close.
That's what your own 12-4-2. You know, that's what your meeting, your Monday marketing meeting is for. So you have your game board or your giving board on there, and you can make it a clear board when you're together, or you can do it, you know, with a spreadsheet and put it up there and say, okay, here are the areas that we need to cover today, right? So we're going to cover our 24-month marketing calendar. This is the items that we have. Let's brainstorm together on what we should add to that. We've still got a couple of things we're going to do. And it's working, by the way. Other teams in Pennsylvania are doing this. You know, every month they have an initiative. So they have their 12-4-2 calendar, 24-month calendar for their existing clients and what they're going to make sure they cover in terms of long-term care or, you know, liability management or something like that. But they then have their marketing 24-month marketing calendar where they're initiating ideas on growing your practice. All right. So that can be a number of different things. It can be product, it can be services, and it can be just training and information for the client on the market, the economy, the bond market, all kinds of interesting things that way. And it can be on, you know, tax changes or anything else that's happening. So the two can coincide and they can diverge, right? So there'll be times when you'll want to use the 24-month product calendar for your marketing. And so you don't have to, you know, so those two can be built kind of together. But having those things and then being so bold as to send them out to the clients, like the 24-month product calendar ideas for your calls, that will really keep you on track.
Well, we have them right now. We have the agenda. We're rolling our 24-month calendar topics into our agendas, right? So our January topic is so in Canada, we have something called a tax-free savings account. Everybody can contribute $6,000 a year to that. And then we have our RRSPs, which are similar to, IRAs, I believe. So, you know, in the first 60 days of the month, you can contribute. It still counts to your previous year's tax,
nice.
year. So that's on everybody's agenda for all of these calls this month, right? But yeah, of course we should post a document to LinkedIn about contribution levels to these things.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course we should.
Reminder, like, yeah.
Just go out to LinkedIn. It would, well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can get followers too, you know, for that stuff. You can, if you're posting regularly, people will pay more attention to you. And especially when it's, you know, you read really interesting articles that you want to share on whatever. It's fun. I mean, it's really, I enjoy it. I don't consciously do it, as much as I just, I'm just checking it.
Yeah. You know, I went through a social media detox probably 2 years ago. And so anytime we talk about LinkedIn, my skin crawls. It absolutely crawls. I fucking hate it, but no, it's the absolute truth. Cause it's not, it to me, this is genuine contact, right?
Yeah.
And there's this whole mentality around hoarding connections, right? But that just drives me up the wall. But when I take a step back and say, this is another billboard or storefront for my business, then I can breathe. But my chest even just gets tight thinking about that.
Did you get too busy with it? Were you?
No, I think what it was I got it's the same thing that we feed into. We get gamification, right? We get an emotional endorphin rush from having more likes, right? And I got into that thing where I'd post something and then I'd refresh, right? To see how many people like it. Is it meaningful? Is it connecting? Those kinds of things, right? The gamification from that. And, I realized that was not adding value to my life, right? So I had to do a full stop. I've got an addictive personality, Rob.
That's called ego.
Well, exactly.
When you write your book, you'll go through a lot of that.
Oh, it's ego. There's a wonderful book called Ego is the Enemy, which I really enjoy and would recommend to read. But I'm mindful of that for sure. You know, is something.
Well, Larry Wilson's book, Playing to Win.
Yeah, got that. Yeah.
The Hero's Journey are all based on that premise.
Yeah.
That you spend your life, in a hero's journey of your own with the purpose at the end to, just slay your own ego.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the game. You know, you get to quote enlightenment where you slay your ego and be others focused completely with no thoughts of yourself. Now, as human beings, it's very hard to do that, but it's a great goal and it's good for you. You know, you can, even if you periodically drift into other centered and then back to ego and drift, at least you're drifting instead of being constantly here.
Right.
Yeah, I play the game. I try. I do my best. And I, because truly the joy in life is in giving and helping. And so the more time you spend with others centered, the happier you really are. Right. The more, as you found, the more trying to satisfy your own ego, the most unhappy you are.
Okay. So let's reframe that. I like that. I'm just going to reframe LinkedIn to giving some sort of thinking about that, just giving quality communication to the channel.
Right.
And just leave it there. Cause I initially used it as a sense of signaling, right? Cause that's the other thing. I've been very careful on who I have in my network on LinkedIn. Who I accept. I don't accept everybody as a connection on LinkedIn. And so I've been very careful on cultivating that and bringing it together. And I haven't actively got my request of my clients to, connect with me on LinkedIn. Because again, I guess it's optional for anybody to click on that link. It's just that our practice thrives on this sense of, privacy, right? And I reiterate to clients, the only way that anyone will know that you work with me is if you tell. And, so it's one of those weird, feeling uncomfortable asking for a referral, right? Sending a LinkedIn connection request. It's like asking for a referral, and just, I need to get comfortable with that.
You've got to overcome that feeling of, that you're invading somebody else's privacy versus saving them from the devil.
Right.
It's really what you're doing is saving them from either incompetence, which is mostly what you're saving them from, or larceny, which is the ultimate saving them. I mean, think about it. There are people out there that don't have the values that you do that will put themselves first and will steal from their clients in subtle ways.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one part. And the other part is the incompetence of just don't call, don't care, don't know, ignorant, and put them in bad things. Right. So you can prevent all of that by good use of your brain, financial planning, anticipating change, and being ahead of it. So, you know, people are like, wow, big surprise that REITs did poorly last year. Well, that was no surprise to me. I own zero REITs.
Right.
No, I haven't, you know, this is probably blasphemy in the oil world, but I don't own any oil. I just bought my first oil in like 5 years.
Right.
Bought Chevron, but you know, so I've prevented a lot of pain. I own no utilities, and they're just saying utilities had the poorest performance last year. Well, no kidding. Right. I mean, they were selling at 22 times earnings with 3% dividends. How would you, I mean, that, I'm sorry, but why would you own utilities at that rate? You know, now I come from a 7% world where utilities are supposed to pay 7% 10 times earnings, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have that, you're way overpaying. Well, the growth rate at 3% or something, selling at 22 times earnings makes no economic sense to me. I'll pay up for Google, but I will not pay up for, you know, Duke Power. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so no, that's where you save your clients, right? You save your clients from irrational thinking. Anyway, I digress. Anything in the, this is the last week of organization, preparing the agenda. We've talked about, I think you feel pretty comfortable with the agenda.
I think so, Kristen. How do you, you comfortable with the agenda as well?
Yeah, I just set myself with a new little bit of a better process in just also trying to make sure, you know, RIF payments and maturities are on the agendas for clients. Like that's just still kind of the part of it that I'm, you know, trying to work out, and I don't want to miss anything. And I know that the first, until I get it down, it might, So that's just the only thing that is on my mind, is I'm trying to figure out the best practice to make sure that nothing gets missed that is important for those agendas.
That's brilliant. If you can do that, that will save Eric a lot of time and effort, and he'll get more and more confident in you catching things and making sure they're on there, to the point where his preparation for the review can be, or for the meeting, it can be minimal.
Here's a real world example of that. So I was prepping, I went through my call list last week. I was going through the folders, prepping for the calls, and I was looking at, Doug's folder, and I looked at it and thought, shit, did we forget to send him money? Looked at his account. Shit. We'll look back at the notes. Nothing on it. Phone Doug in a panic. said, Doug, did we forget to send you money? And he said, no, no, actually, I just talked to Kristen and we put it on the agenda to make sure we hit on it next week. Oh, okay, great. So I was sitting here shitting a brick, but Kristen and our client had already figured that out. So
just brilliant, which is brilliant, but let him know too.
Yeah. Well, that's where, you know, we had the printing issue. So I was emailing the clients, like the updated agenda, and I CC'd Eric. So,
but when I was doing the prep work for the call, I didn't have the updated agenda in the folder when I was doing it. I wasn't, so I was just going through looking at from an implementation framework, like what investments do I need to switch out to bring everybody online and cohesive and get that stuff together. And then that's when I noticed the cash balance. I thought, oh shit, we forgot something, I think. So.
Well, good. Urgent, not urgent, activities that can be helpful. Sounds like you guys are pretty together on that. You're not wasting a lot of time on not urgent, small clients, stuff like that. So,
well, Kristen is, unfortunately. Turns out when we were talking earlier, the clients that, because we don't have to segment out all of our clients, we're butlering them until we segment them out. So we're at the bottom of our list now. We're calling the lowest priority households in our business. And Kristen's having a hell of a time scheduling. They're the least committal people, which is just absolutely hilarious to me. You know, we've got people who are very busy. they're all over it. But, you know, we've got, for example, one guy's like, well, I don't know if I can commit to quarterly calls at a specific time because I'll be golfing in the summer. Well, come on. So.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
But that's the key. You know, people worry that they're going to have a terrible time with their best clients. And the best clients are scheduled out.
Yeah, no problem.
And they're like, perfect, because I should have been doing this with you anyway, and now you're doing it with me. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you're in my book. And if I'm traveling or on an airplane, I'll let you know, but otherwise I'm good. And they just live that way. Whereas the guy that's retired and has nothing going on, he's like, well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, you just say, look, this is when we're, you know, look, when are you not playing golf? What's your golf schedule?
Well, and even at that, we'll just say, here's your option and move on.
Right.
Like if you miss it, you miss it.
And you schedule it and you call. And if they're not there, you leave a nice message and say, I'll talk to you next quarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good. Good. It's really a pleasure talking with you both. You're very dedicated and I love that. And even though you feel like you're behind Eric, you're not. You're doing great. Chrissy, thanks. Great job. Seriously.
Thank you, Rob.
I appreciate it. You're going to be a model for your whole firm. And when we're done, we're going to take this to the entire country.
So has the firm been out to have they been in touch with you, Rob? No. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Our national sales manager has a laser focus on what I'm doing right now. Absolutely laser focus. We just had an update call last week. He wanted feedback about what was going on, where we were at and these kinds of things. And, I'm actively pushing for, some money for coaching for advisors for
your
the
good
firm
guys.
To step up, right?
The guys like you
who
really will take advantage of this and will do it. The guys you can't drag kicking and screaming, they're not organized anyway. That's a waste of both of our time. Okay. But for the good guys, for you, for people that, you know, just give me the process. You know, I'll be much, and then all of a sudden you're so much more productive and you're like, where have you been my whole life? Why didn't you call me earlier? You should have called me. you see it. And so it would raise the productivity. So you take the top 20% of your FAs, right? Just train them. You'll get your money back 50 times.
Yeah.
And So it's a no-brainer, you know.
Somebody once said to me, it'd be a game changer if every investment advisor at our firm brought in $4 million in net new assets. And I thought, shit, that's low hanging fruit.
Right.
Is that not happening? So, yeah, it would just be great to see more of this going on, and at least, and to have more resources from the firm directed to plug into Supernova as well. That would be, that'd be a crazy good flywheel if they thought about their marketing calendar, communication calendar, and linked it in. But so those are the things that I'm working on internally as well, is seeing if we can get them to think this way a little bit more too.
Well, not everybody gets it. Not everybody wants to be tied to a schedule. A lot of people don't want to be that productive, but for the right people, it's phenomenal. And the best thing to do is to give them lots of choice, rather than saying, this is what we're doing as a firm. If it can come from you rather than them,
yeah,
they'll pay for it, then it's fabulous. That's the way to market it. Okay? Cool. So tell them that. It's a testimonial sale. It's not we've got a new blue cheer. You know, this is the new firm initiative. That goes over like a lead balloon. But if it comes from you,
And there, it's been suggested to me to make myself available for a call, but I'm similar. I've been doing this long enough that, I'm very hesitant to be on a firm-wide call saying, here's what I'm doing and this is why it's being successful, is because you usually never hear from those people again. They flip.
Right. You gotta do it.
I would do it on a one-on-one. I would say, if anybody's interested in hearing what I'm doing, absolutely my line's open. Give me a call.
Or here's what you do. This is the way we've done it, is you take the managers and we do a call with the managers and you give the testimonial. Then they go in and they pick the teams that they know have the right people that are going to actually act on something. They're smart. They have initiatives. Then we do a call with the managers and then a select group of FAs. And then we pick among those, you know, FAs. So you pick 10 FAs among the country and you do a beta test with them, and then you can go a little bigger, but you sell the managers, you sell the FAs initially, and then they can take advantage of it. And they got to read the book, and they got to, you know, don't get on the call unless you read the book. I don't want to, who is this guy? What's he doing? What's different? You know, come on, do some homework ahead of time. So that's what you tell. That's how you tell your sales manager. That's the way to go. I've done it so many times. And when they try and do something different, it doesn't work.
Right. Cool. Okay. All right, sir.
Thanks. Great you job. Too.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.